We shall live together then and now. Community life is central to Paul's understanding of church. You got to live together. You got to like each other. The central theme of 1 Thessalonians is life together, both in the future realm of heaven and, of course, right here on earth. The life in Thessalonica, Greece, was going on in that day for those folks that the words were written for Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica. Other problems, however, did emerge from that community. The believers were concerned about the end of time, who would be present and how it would happen. And Paul answers their question by pointing to the basic reality of being together with loved ones and the Lord at the time of death and resurrection. You see, Paul was trying to teach them that if they loved the Lord, if they had that salvation in their heart, why are you worrying about the end of time? In addition, the Thessalonians are wanting to know not only how the end will occur, but when. Paul responds to them again, confirming that they already know the answer. He says it's already been told to you in God's Word. You already know the answer, namely that the Lord will come like a thief in the night when one least expects Christ's return. Fortunate for the believers, however, is that the reality that they were walking in darkness, but in the light, and that they will not be taken by surprise. In other words, the thief here, the metaphor that we use, cannot fully be used for us believers and for those believers because of their faith, our faith. We do not have to live in fear or dread as one fearful of the appearance of a robber. The community can live wide awake, hopeful lives. We can live in the light of God. The ethical demands for living while one waits are important to Paul. And it's important to him and how he talks to this community, how he tells that community of believers, and how that word is for us today. That we as believers are to be alert and well-balanced, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of hope of salvation. The ultimate understanding is that whether alive or awake, we may live with Him. That we need to be with Him. We're going to live with Him here on this earth, and when we are no longer here, we're still going to live with Christ in heaven. Having that knowledge, then what does the community do? By now, Paul's response has become redundant and repetitive. Oh, he's aggravated, but no less significant for that ancient community than for ours. You see, the same thing for them is for us. Paul places the value of community and relationship above all doctrinal information, even ethical sanctions, when he says in verse 11, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing." To encourage one another, to build each other up. That is the goal of who we are. That is what we do. That is should be how we live. So many of you do this already, but some of the rest of us need to get in a better habit of doing it. Encourage one another. Send folks a letter. Actually, put a pen or pencil to paper and write something to them, a little card. Just let them know you're thinking about them, that you're praying for them, that you love them. Encourage them. Build them up. Not tear them down. You know, the world is full of people tearing each other down. It happens all the time. We need to be about lifting each other up. What is the goal of the church? If that's not our goal, what is it? Most of us realize that the church is changing drastically in this world we live in. Church membership is on the down, declining. Denominationalism is also getting further and further down the line. And yet people seem to be wanting places of sacred fellowship. People still want a place to come and worship. But they want to come and worship God. They want to tell of their salvation. They want to sing praises. They want to celebrate. But they're not really worried about some of this other stuff. All of a sudden I'm on. There you go. They're not worried about that. But tradition, little structures, sometimes can bother people. They don't like all this stuff. They like to come and just be. They don't want a lot of stuff telling them who and where and why. They just want to say, come and listen. Come and listen to God's word. Come and sing God's praises. Come and be a part of what we are doing, what others are doing, and not get so hung up in all the other things. It says, what is the goal of the church? What is the goal of this church? What is the goal of this faith community? You see, for Paul and the community there at Thessalonica, there is one primary responsibility of a faith community. The believers in Thessalonians are to encourage, encourage, encourage. Build up. Perhaps church leaders today need to hear this central feature of Paul's understanding of church just one more time. We need to hear it again and again. Perhaps we need to be reminded of this main feature, because this is where we, as a community of faith, have most successfully missed the mark. This is the place where we have failed the most. You see, the newspapers each and every week are filled with advertisements announcing various support groups, from AA to those couples with infertility concerns. I mean, just everything from A to Z, you've got them in the paper. People need support, people. People need support from one another. They need folks to help them along the way. We need help in order to maneuver through life's crisis, to be able to maneuver from one place to the other. We need somebody. We need friends, we need family, we need community. You know, this is not new. This is not nothing that was just created. This has been around for a long time. However, organized religion has been guilty of shooting the wounded rather than providing a hospital for healing. Sometimes we put too many barriers up and we don't let a lot of people in. You see, as religious people, we have established sometimes high standards of acceptability and performance that we simply cannot reach. We set the bar too high. People should be able to come in, come in. The door is open to come in and worship and be a part. And you guys do the best job of this of anybody I've seen in a long time, but we all still need improvement. We all still need a refresher course from time to time, to think about what we're doing, what we're saying, how it looks, and how we're responding. Rather than lower our standards of admission into fellowship, we have just limited that fellowship. What if the church of the 21st century became the place, much like the church in Thessalonica, where believers knew clearly that their role was not to be the sole gatekeeper of respectable doctrines and ethics? Rather, the role of the believer was to focus on encouraging one another in a fellowship for the purpose of building each other up, edifying, bringing people up, lifting them up, rather than tearing people down. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a difference that would make. Are we ready to do something about it? I want you to do something for me this week. I know you've got a lot going on. I know you're busy. I know you're thinking about what you're going to cook, what you're going to fix, who's coming, what's going on. Now, some of you are. Some of you could care less. But some of you are worried about those things. Some of you just go to the table and sit down and eat, and it appears before you. Some of you don't. That doesn't happen that way. I know who you are. I've been to your houses, so I'm just, you know. But you're preparing. You're thinking. You're busy. You're doing. Things are happening. Kids are going to have a few days out of school, and they're so excited. They're going to have a very long weekend. Things are happening. They're going to have people coming in. You're going to have family. You're going to have friends. You're going to be together with folks. And you're going to have a good time. And sometimes it might just be when they all go home, and you're like, thank God. I love them, but I want them to go because my house is empty again, and I can breathe. Whatever it might be, whatever you're happy for, I don't know. But I want you to think about somebody in this church, family, and community that maybe you haven't seen in a while. How about just pick them, phone up and call them or send them a card. Let them know you're thinking about them. Let them know you love them. What about somebody that's going through something that we've called out on this prayer list? There's a lot of people in our church, family, and community that are hurting. They've got things going on in their lives. And I tell you, Y'all have been phenomenal to me. I've got a stack of sympathy cards literally this high. I think the other day it was like 100 and some. It's crazy. Everybody's been great, but they make me know that I'm loved and I'm cared for. What about people who have been through great things? What about the blessings of life? I look at Don and Joe. Joe has come through a trial and a tribulation, and they are on the good side. He's got a clean now. What do we say? Do we just say, oh, well, that's wonderful? I'm guilty of it myself. I thought about, I bought him a card. I haven't mailed it to say, and I'm going to do it. You know, thank God for what he's done in his life and how, you know, we're blessed we are. They've got a new grandchild. William Ron Sally's got a new grandchild. Has anybody said, other than shaking their hand and telling them, have you told Todd and Tanya how blessed they are? Have you said thank you? Have you sent Anita something to let her know you're praying for her and Earl and also for her son? Think about what you can do for Marcia and Jim who are waiting, who are anxious. That's what the church does. We are the people. We are the people. There's more. I could name everybody on here. How about those people like Wade and Wilbur Cabe who diligently take care of their mama? And it's been going on a long time. Just to say, you know, I think about you. I think about you every now and then. I pray for you because I know that's a lot to do. And look at the journey that they have done. They continue. There's so much that we have to be thankful for. There's so much that we can do to build up the body of Christ. There is so much we can do to share what God has given us. We can be like the church at Thessalonica. We can be like the churches that Paul put together. What is our goal? What is our goal? What are we doing? Yes, things might be declining. Things might be doing this, but we are still the church. We are still here. We're still a community of faith. We still love each other. We still care about each other. We reach out, but we need to sometimes continue to reach a little bit better than we've done lately. We need to think about what we are doing. We need to think about those folks who might not always be here and say, how can I do something about it? And if you'll say, I don't have their address, I don't want to hear that. You can find anything else you want on your telephone. You can look it up. Find it. If you don't, call somebody. I'm sure somebody will share it with you. Think about what you can do. Think about what we can do as the church. And let's be better about what God has called us all to do. Let us pray.